Advices Radio Network.
Advices Radio is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The opinions of the host are not meant to be taken as medical advice. If you have a health concern, see a doctor immediately.
When it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to Advices Radio, part of the Advices Radio Network. And network is the best word that I can describe what it is that we are doing, because this is the second time this month that we have had brand new podcasts available to you every day of the work week, Monday through Friday. So Monday, Strength Depositions. Tuesday, we have Santi Aragon, which you're listening to now on Advices Radio. Wednesday, we have Clinical Muscle with Dr. Vijay Puri and Dr. Steve Ogden. Then after that, on Thursday, we have Blood, Sweat, and Gear with Ken Skip Hill and S2H. And then on Friday, our sister podcast, Bodybuilding Nerds. You can listen to that over at bodybuildingnerds.com or search Bodybuilding Nerds on iTunes. So we've got your week covered, and next week we'll be back trying to do it again just the best as we can, except for instead of Blood, Sweat, and Gear, we'll have a new episode of Muscle Minds with Jordan Peters and Dr. Scott Stevenson. So stay tuned for all the new cool stuff coming up, and watch out for the next video of Advices video series coming out soon. All right, guys, I hope you're having a great Tuesday, and enjoy listening to Santi. Welcome back to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott McNally. This is episode number 44. And with me today, it's my pleasure to introduce very special guest, IFBB Pro, Santi Aragon. Santi, how you doing today, man?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here, man. This is really exciting. I've been a longtime fan of yours. I listen to, you know, all the stuff that you've done on Geared Up. I've followed you, you know, through the years and watched your physique progress, man. You've got a really beautiful physique. Now, what, you turned pro initially, were you planning on competing in the 212?
If you rewind back to the year that I turned pro, I didn't even want to compete. I wanted to retire.
Okay.
Honestly, I really was at a point, and I know that a lot of competitors can kind of relate to this, is that I was prepping year after year after year so much and so hard that the relationship that I had with the gym and with food, for instance, and just cardio and all that, it was just kind of like a job and a chore.
Yeah.
And it was not enjoyable anymore. So in 2014, I decided that, you know what, I'm going to diet and I'm going to train because I like doing it.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to force me to do cardio. I'm going to do it because I want to do it. And I built this awesome relationship. And it's almost like if I'm talking about a person, I built this incredible relationship with finding a balance with being able to be a normal human.
Yeah.
Going out with my friends and enjoying family and stuff. And also, you know, doing my cardio, doing my training. And I was pretty much, I would say I was at least 6% body fat the year round.
Dude.
And that was me going out, you know, with friends on the weekends and eating freely. And then once the week came back around, you know, I was back at it and I was very focused. But I didn't even want to compete. I just wanted to kind of just live the lifestyle and have a good time until they announced that Nationals was in Miami. And I'm like, wow, this is like a sign.
Yeah.
Because they've been going back and forth and they're like, they're going to sign a contract for, you know, 5 years at this venue. So I'm like, all right, this is like a sign. I might as well just jump in. So I only dieted for Nationals for about 10 weeks. I was already in shape. So after I got my pro card, they didn't have any of these other divisions like classic. So
yeah, because you were a welterweight when you turned pro, correct?
I was a welterweight. Yeah. So I was about 165 pounds at weigh-in. And then roughly by the nighttime, since it's a 2-day show, I was about maybe 172 when the overall pose down and stuff was going on. So, that was the kind of the natural thing to do is veer into 212.
Yeah.
So I linked up with Matt Porter at that time, and we came up with a plan to, you know, do a year off season, which I'd never done an actual off season before. It was always like 20 weeks out. All right, let's start prepping for a show.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really wanted to take it serious. I had been picked up at the same time by Muscle Tech.
Nice.
So I wanted to kind of, you know, make this into like a serious thing, you know. Going to the gym was, I was taking it as an approach that this is my job. Muscle Tech is paying me to go to the gym, and I wanted to get the most out of it.
So you're at this point, what you're telling me is you began officially living the dream is what you're telling me.
I was living what most people would want to with a sponsor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not saying that I didn't have, you know, other businesses going on the side.
Sure.
But for most, you know, they could make a comfortable life just by, you know, with the Muscle Tech contract.
That's so cool.
So I took that off season very seriously. You know, I did a shitload of guest posings. I worked my ass off to get my face out there as much as I can.
Yeah.
And then about 8 to 9 months into my off season, I was already about maybe 210, which is significantly bigger than what I usually am. They came out with Classic.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm like, God damn it. They would do this. And it would have been like a perfect kind of, I wouldn't have had to do much to just jump on a pro stage at that point.
Nice.
But I went so far ahead already.
Yeah.
That there was kind of no turning back.
Okay.
So my initial thing was 212, just to make a long story short. After I did my first 212 show, then I decided to actually make the transition back into Classic. And that was probably one of the hardest things I'd done, because I actually had to stop going to the gym and stop working out for about 3-4 months.
Really? Just all together? You just had to quit? No, yeah, kidding.
I had to, because there was no way that from the experience that I was having, as far as I was doing a lot of cardio, I was doing all these drastic things to try to, you know, cannibalize muscle.
Yeah.
And it just was not working at all. And it was actually really, it was stressing me even more. So I said, you know, let me just not do anything. Let me not go to the gym. Let me not train, and let my body just kind of come down and normalize by itself. And that's what I did in it. And it actually paid off, you know, this year it paid off.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. You've got a really cool shape. You've got awesome physique. You know, when we talk about, and now what did you compete at? You were just competing in the Chicago Pro. You know, compared to when you stepped on stage at Nationals, where were you ballpark?
As far as weight goes,
yeah.
I was about 15 pounds heavier.
Okay.
So my weigh-in at Classic is 175 for my height, and that's a 10-pound difference from Nationals. And then I'll probably bump up about, you know, to about 180, 182.
Okay.
After I load, so. Yeah, roughly about, I would say about 15 pounds or so.
So the interesting thing is, because I get the vibe, you know, and I've been there as a younger bodybuilder, and we have a lot of guys that are newer that are listening, and they're doing the math in their head, and they're saying, okay, so I could be 180. I'm 180 now. I could be Santi Aragon. And the thing I want to point out, the difference is that your shape allows you to look so good at that body weight. You know, I agree.
It's much different. Like to give you kind of an example, and the listeners an example. When I started, after I took that hiatus off, and I decided around November, December of last year, it's like, all right, now it's time to start training. I'm going to pick a show in the beginning of the year and do it. I weighed about maybe 183 pounds to start actually going to the gym and start picking up weights again.
Okay.
And by the time I was 1 week out, I was still about 183.
No kidding.
So,
really?
So about 4 months, I didn't move on a scale. It was just complete recomp, 100%. And that has happened throughout my bodybuilding career. Even when I was using Stan McQuay, for instance, in the early, you know, the early part of our preps, when I was actually a middleweight, we would start our prep right around 180, and you know, before we would try to make weight, I was still in that 180 range.
No kidding.
But then the complete before and after is like night and day.
Right, right. Yeah, totally different. Totally different. Yeah,
which some people, they start really high on the scale and then they kind of chop themselves all the way down.
Yeah.
You know, which works for a lot of people too. But for me specifically, I kind of stay right roughly around the same weight throughout prep.
Right on, right on. So, you know, I mentioned Chicago and we were talking before the show. So you've had a ton of success. You know, I've looked at your history competing, and you know, especially like when you were in the NPC. I mean, I see a lot of firsts, a lot of firsts. And you know, you didn't do quite as well here. And you told me that there's a lot of things that you learned from this prep, and there were a lot of things that kind of went into it that kind of made it turn out the way it did. Would you mind talking a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, if I had to sum up my entire year, if somebody came up to me, maybe like an amateur or somebody that's, you know, really maybe even somebody that's very advanced, that's trying to get their pro card or anything like that, and they asked me one thing that I've learned this year about competing, and what would it be, and how can I pass this information to them the easiest way that they can learn? What I learned and what's the most valuable, I think I could take it, you know, now to every contest prep, is the importance of your calorie intake prior to starting contest prep. I can't drive this home big enough to the point that I don't think I would ever start a contest prep anymore until my baseline calories and my maintenance calories are at such a high point that I'm comfortable now starting to chop off calories little by little leading into the show. I get a ton of clients that come to me and they want to do, you know, get ready for a show in 20 weeks. And the first thing I'm like, what's your diet like?
Yeah.
So they sent me a copy and paste of their diet. I run the numbers and they're running, you know, a male 200 pounds is eating about 2000 calories.
Mm.
You know, that right there is a complete, like, we cannot get ready for a show in 20 weeks like this. I need to actually increase your calories little by little up so that becomes your maintenance calories. And then we could come back down nice and slow.
Yeah.
If you start at 2000, where the hell are you going to go after 20 weeks?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's the problem that I had. As soon as I hit a point in my prep where my maintenance calories and, you know, I said that I was recomping, that I wasn't changing much week to week. I was already pretty low to start. And that's the problem, is that once you're low to start, you really have nowhere to go. By the time Chicago came around, I was only eating about maybe 1,000 calories.
That's rough right there then. So so what you're telling me is you get those calories high and then you have more options. Then we can say pull, you know, a little bit of carbs here, pull a little bit fats there, and make these changes incrementally to get you to systematically lose the fat you need to lose while still eating enough to support everything.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Like, to give you an example, I had a client, Alyssa. She looked incredible this year. Her name on Instagram is the Classical Queen, and I built her calories, you know, through the 30 weeks that we were together, because she was eating like nothing. She was eating like a bird, and at the end of her contest prep, she was eating more than me, and
wow.
I outweigh her by like maybe 80 pounds. So, and that's the importance again about driving this message home, is that you have to get your maintenance calories as high as possible. And when I say maintenance calories, I mean, you're not losing and you're not gaining weight. That's just to maintain what you have right there.
Yeah.
You're not getting any fatter. You're not getting any leaner. As soon as you have that high enough, then we can start rocking and rolling, getting shredded.
And cardio too. That's another thing. If somebody comes to me and they're already doing an hour and 30 minutes of cardio, then you have to ask yourself, well, you know, how much cardio are we going to be doing at the end, right?
What the hell are you going to do from here? It's like you have to decondition them slowly to then bring, you know, reintroduce it again. So that's the major thing that I learned this year. And I don't think I'll ever make that mistake again.
Right on. I think it's a hell of a lesson. And I think it's a great lesson too for everybody listening at home. And, you know, if you want to reach out to a coach, or you're going to diet yourself, I mean, Santi's a coach. If you want to reach out to him or anybody else, you know, you want to approach that person eating as much food as you possibly can while still maintaining, you know, fairly lean conditioning and, you know, keep the cardio low. I think that people make the mistake of wanting to come to you and impress you with what they've already done, you know?
Yeah. No, and that's the problem. It's like, I don't care what you've already done. It's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
And if you're not in a good spot right now, then, you know, this contest prep, at least for you, is going to be super miserable.
Right.
It's going to be a miserable freaking prep. And that's what I had to deal with even going into Toronto was pretty miserable. So, the last two shows that I did were, I'm happy that I got through it, you know, but I would never put myself and my body through that again.
Right on. Well, I'm confident that the next time, this sounds like it was a great lesson to learn. And you're so young in the sport too. I feel like that you've got so much time that you can take this information and, you know, apply it. And with that said, what's the game plan moving forward now?
You know, I really don't know.
That's okay.
I think that, you know, I have so many options because I could be classic or I can do 212 if I really wanted to.
Yeah.
I could get back into 212.
I'll tell you, man, I think that you look awesome in classic. In my heart, I like freaks. So I do that. When you say 212, I didn't think that you were considering it. But now that you mention it, I'm thinking like, yeah, man, that would be really cool to see.
It's fun. You know, 212 is fun. Like I got the best of both worlds because I got to kind of compare and contrast being training for both. You know, not a lot of guys can actually say I competed as a 212 pro and I also competed as a classic pro.
Sure.
And one thing that I do like about training to compete at a 212 is that I can train the way that I want to train. I don't have to kind of the class is not going to determine how I train in the gym and how I eat. It's kind of like I had, like, for instance, the first show that I did this year, I didn't start training legs until about 5 weeks out.
Oh man, that's not fun. You know, we do this because we love training, right?
Exactly. It's not fun at all. So I had to change up the way that I train certain body parts so that everything stays pretty balanced.
Yeah.
And as a 212, yeah, you want to stay balanced, but you also want a freaky ass body part.
Yeah.
Whether it's your legs or whether it's your back. Yeah, it may overpower everything else, but who cares? Like, just train the fucker until it explodes.
You know? Yeah.
And that's what I miss. That's the only part that I really miss is you know, the freak factor and the part that you could just train freely and just load up the plates.
Yeah.
And that's why we lift to begin with, you know?
Yeah.
We compete because we lift, not we lift because we compete.
I like that. And that says a lot right there. You know, and before we were recording, I know that you were training. We scheduled our recording here around your training. So I have to ask, you're down there in Miami, you're living the dream, you're hitting the weights today. What did you train, Santi?
So today was, I'm just so that people have a perspective of what's going on right now is, you know, I'm probably, I think it's like been a week and a half already since Chicago.
Yeah.
And I shut down my season already, so
okay.
I've made a list of things that I have neglected, you know, from contest prep. One of them being the dentist.
Oh, yeah.
I have gone, you know, to get that 6-month cleaning and all that shit that's involved with daily life that you just kind of set aside.
Sure.
Because you're on contest prep, so, you know, that's the most important thing. So I went today to the dentist. So half of my mouth was completely numb.
Oh, geez.
I was actually hoping. I'm like, oh, my God, please. I hope that this numbness goes away by the time I start interviewing.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to a dentist today, you know, just a normal day. I mean, I went to the dentist. I went to the grocery store after the dentist. And then, you know, the convenient thing about living in Miami, or at least the part of Miami where I'm at. And for those that are listening that's ever been to Nationals, I live in that area where they hold Nationals every year.
That's cool.
I ride my bike to the LA Fitness that's down the literally down the street.
Nice.
So I ride my bike over there because parking sucks. And And I just train, you know, I'm training shoulders. I'm building back. I trained shoulders today. I'm building back my strength again.
Okay.
Little by little, because obviously at 1,000 calories, your strength is not going to be optimal.
Sure.
So I'm slowly building back my strength. I'm keeping everything pretty basic compound movements. You know, maybe I did about maybe 6 exercises at about 4 sets, you know, anywhere between 8 and 12 reps each. And then I did about 25 minutes of cardio on the elliptical. I'm trying to keep cardio in just so that, you know, just a health, you know, aspect of, you know, lifting and everything. And
yeah,
you know, all this new weight that I've gained after Chicago, you know, it kind of, you're kind of out of breath.
Oh, so I bet. I bet.
Yeah, I had a nice rebound after Chicago that I'm happy about it, but I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's basically it. And, you know, every day is different because I do own an most people don't know, I own an electronic repair store.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like,
so
like what kind of electronics?
Just all your basic, like, you know, smartphones, laptops.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, all the basic stuff that people, you know, can't live without for 1 second of the day. They break and they go insane. So
right, right.
They bring it to us. That's a lot more affordable than, you know, having to go to like an Apple store and wait there for like the DMV,
right?
And wait for hours. So I do that, and you know, most people don't know that I own a shop that does it. So if I don't have a day off like today, I'm usually over there and I'll train at night. So that's basic. I live a very, very just it's bodybuilder, you know, bodybuilder lifestyle. But it's also, you know, very normal, you know, with a normal job.
Yeah. No, I never knew that about you. I never knew that you owned this business. I think and that's it's interesting. It's totally removed from everything else that you do bodybuilding wise. You know, back to I wanted to ask you a little bit more about training. What kind of splits do you generally use? Because I don't know this about you. I've never asked before. Do you tend to do more of the like the one body part a day type thing, or what's worked for you?
So last year, right when I actually started touching weights again, I reached out to one of my really good friends. He's local here in Miami. I train out of this gym. I go to LA Fitness when I have the day off because I can just ride my bike there.
Yeah.
But when I'm at my shop, which is about maybe a 30-minute drive from my apartment, I train at this gym called Flex Appeal Miami.
Nice.
And there's a trainer there. His name's Carlos Rodriguez. And his name on Instagram is Pastor Pump. And I linked up with him so that we can start I wanted to try something different because I always saw him in the gym and training with guys and stuff that, and his kind of philosophy is very heavy, very heavy, but very controlled. And I wanted to try something different because I never actually trained like that before.
Hmm.
So the goal was to kind of just train with him once a week and do back training since I always had, you know, my critique was always, denser back, thicker back, denser back, thicker back. So I started training with him, and it turned from like 1 day a week into like 4 days a week after I started training with him. And just to give everybody an example of how his training style is, he jots everything down. And I don't think that when I'm prepping or even building strength, I would ever go to the gym and not write down what I'm doing.
Okay.
At least for the bread and butter movement. So for instance, if we're doing back, you know, the two bread and butter movements that we use throughout the prep that we never change were the rack deadlifts and also the dumbbell rows. And what we would do is every single week we would either try to beat the previous weight or the previous reps. And that was just our plan every single week. So when I first started with Carlos, I feel embarrassed saying this, but I was rowing about 60 pounds.
Okay.
That was all I can do, you know, just starting training after, you know, 3-4 months hiatus.
Yeah, and it had to be humbling, I imagine.
It was extremely terrible feeling that I'm like, oh my God. And he was just like, let's keep going every single week. We'll just baby steps every single week. About 6 weeks out of my first show, about anywhere between 4 and 6 weeks, I was at my strongest. 4 weeks out of my of the first show that I did this year, they actually had to buy heavier dumbbells for the gym because I was rowing, if I'm not mistaken, the 175s.
Nice.
So, and this is, again, this is not from one day to another. This was a gradual increase every single week to get to that goal. We train one body part a day. My split during contest prep is 6 days.
Okay.
So I'll take one day where I do nothing. I won't do cardio. I won't train. I won't do anything. So that's my complete day off. Everything else is, you know, if cardio is implemented, I'll have my cardio sessions and I'll have my weight training session. But everything is one body part. The only time that I'll add a second body part will be like, let's say small, like let's say shoulders. I'll add like a, you know, triceps at the end. And I rarely train arms on a solo day. It's always like an accessory to something else.
Okay.
But that training style has really, really helped me. And I think that for people that are maybe have been doing things and, you know, they're kind of frustrated with the results and they never maybe tried jotting their weights down so that when they go to the gym, you kind of already know what you're expecting.
Yeah.
I think that that's the way to go. And you'll see that you're going to make these drastic improvements over a short period of time.
You know, every other week I do a podcast called Muscle Minds with Jordan Peters and Scott Stevenson.
Oh,
and they are huge proponents of logging what you're doing. They got me into it now. And I felt actually kind of stupid that I wasn't doing it before because, you know what, man, what you're saying and what they're saying, it only makes total sense to me. I mean, yeah, the thing is it takes a minute to do. And I've always thought, well, like, I know how much I lift and I'll just push myself to 100%. Yeah. But it's different when you actually have it written down in front of you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is because as I'm going to the gym, I'll kind of hype myself up as like, all right, today we're deadlifting 450 and I have to get 12,
yeah.
You know, versus last week I got 8. And then, you know, then you're hyping yourself up for this lift the entire way as you're driving to the gym. So you know what to expect. It's kind of like before I would just go to the gym and train by feeling,
yeah.
Which got me to a certain point, but then there's a sticking point where you're just maybe you don't even know that you're doing the same weight every single week. You're not improving that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially I think, you know, because there's a lot of guys out there, guys like myself and I'm sure a lot of the listeners that don't have that great of genetic gifts. We need to take advantage of everything we can. So if a guy like you is telling us that we need to do that, you know, that you're doing that and that you need to do that, then we definitely, I think, all need to pay a little bit more of attention and take that time. Just out of curiosity, are you writing this down? Is he writing this down in a notebook or do you kind of keep track on your phone or how do you do this?
He has an Excel spreadsheet on his phone.
Okay.
So every time that we film like the, you know, for people that are interested in seeing this stuff, I have a whole YouTube series on, you know, and you'll see Carlos in the background on his phone. And I said it a couple times, like it looks like he's texting, but he's not texting. Hmm. He's actually writing down what the lifts are because his head is buried on the phone. It's like, oh, what kind of trainer is this? He's texting while, you know, he's training his client. No, he's actually writing down the lift and how many reps and how many sets we got.
All right. I'll tell you what, guys, I'm going to get that YouTube link from you, Santi, after this. Okay. Anybody who wants to see that, I'll put the link up on the Advices Radio Facebook page so you guys can all go and check that out. It sounds very inspirational to me, man.
Yeah, right. It was a whole series that I did going into the first show that I did this year, and I called it the Reinvention Series just because I was, you know, essentially reinventing my physique going from 212 to classic.
Yeah.
So it was a series, I think it was like 8 episodes that I did. And I think it came out really good so people can get a kind of an in-depth view of you know, what contest prep looks like.
Interesting. Cool. So, you know, that kind of brings up another question for me. You're somebody who has paid a lot of attention to your posing. And I know that one of the things you do is that you help a lot of people with posing too. What are your thoughts about the posing that you were doing for Classic versus the posing that you were doing for the 212? Which do you like better?
I think okay, so I like posing in bodybuilding just because there's more poses mandatory. Mandatory wise. I also like bodybuilding, posing in bodybuilding because I stand out more with my posing in bodybuilding than in classic because everybody in classic is trying to do classic poses.
Okay.
So if somebody else is like extremely good or four or five guys are extremely good at posing in classic, then, you know, you kind of, not that you get overlooked, but everybody's trying to do the same shit, you know, pretty much. But then when you go to 212, these guys don't have flow. Mm. These guys don't have flow. These guys don't move. They don't transition like, you know, how posing was back in the, you know, the 80s and the 90s and the 70s.
Yeah.
So you really stand, I really feel like I stood out more on a bodybuilding stage versus a classic stage when it came to posing. Although I do like the posing aspect in classic because, you know, it kind of builds a platform. Like this is a classic, you know, this is what classic physique is about kind of thing.
That makes
and
sense.
Don't try to compare me to, you know, if I'm doing 212 bodybuilding, oh, why isn't this guy in classic, you know? Well, because it's hard to fucking make weight. So it's fun in both aspects. I just like wearing posing trunks, to be honest.
Right on.
Shorts. I'm more of a – it baffles me because I look so blocky wearing the shorts versus like when you have the nice taper of the posing trunks, you know, coming up. It really changes the look. And, you know, especially if you have legs that go all the way into your hips.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Like that's gone. You don't even see that.
Interesting.
So I kind of like the 212 aspect of it.
Interesting. You know, you mentioned transitions. How important are transitions on stage compared to actually nailing the pose itself? I mean, the pose itself is important, but example,
like when a client comes to me and they want to pose, they want to get posing instruction. The first thing that I do, well, sometimes it's in person if they're local or through Skype. I do the sessions through Skype.
Cool.
Skype video. So what I'll usually do with a first-time client is I'll kind of sit back and I'll tell them I'm not going to critique you on anything that you're doing. I want to see what you're doing first. And I'll run them through all the mandatories and kind of make mental notes about what's going on. The first step of teaching somebody how to pose is going to be getting the pose down first.
Okay.
Before we, you know, start cleaning things up with transitions or anything like that, they have to learn the poses and they have to learn the poses well. So I'll probably take, depending on their skill level, anywhere between 2 to 5 sessions just on mandatories to make sure that they get these, you know, down. This is the most important part. Some guys come to me, oh, I want a posing routine. I want this. Whoa, slow down. Let's start with the very basics. And, you know, it's just like training and everything. We have to start basic and then we start, you know, building from there. So once they get all their mandatories down packed, and this is quarter turns included.
Yeah.
Now we should start doing transitions. And transitions, for those that don't know, is, you know, what are you doing from point A or pose A to pose B?
Yeah.
How are you getting from this pose to this pose? And what are you doing to complement your body and manipulate your body to get into that pose? So this is all for mandatories because there's also transitions when you're doing your routine. There's transitions for any part that you're on stage, but this is strictly mandatories.
Okay.
So then we'll go over the transitions for mandatories. I think that when you're sitting on stage and if I'm a judge, I always try to put myself in the perspective of the judge. If you're sitting there and you're a judge, when you start seeing somebody go from pose A to pose B and they're fluidly going into the pose, like seamlessly, like you don't even know where one pose starts and the next pose ends, kind of, it really catches their eye.
Yeah.
And it catches my eye. Like I was in a show the other day, Southern States down here in South Florida.
Yeah.
And some of the guys, you could tell that some of the guys were definitely national competitors just because of their conditioning. You could just tell.
Okay.
But you could also tell by their presentation as well. So anytime that they would flow in their mandatories from pose to pose, you'd be like, okay, he obviously has practiced and he knows what he's doing. You could tell. So that would be the second part of what we're doing of the lesson, you know, that we would be doing on our, on, you know, Skype or in person is going to be the transitions. Now, transitions are much more difficult, I think, than mandatories, just because it's almost like a dance. Hmm. You have to have some type of rhythm, and it's kind of hard to teach rhythm.
Yeah.
So the more that somebody practices, the better. I always tell my clients, I'm like, look, I can only teach you so much within an hour.
Sure.
But it's up to you that you need to practice. I practice my posing every – well, when I'm on contest prep, I practice every single morning, and I practice post-workout when I get home every single day.
Okay. And how long a session is that?
What I'll do is and this is the suggestion that I have to all my clients is we are trying to build stamina for this for posing. We're trying to build stamina, okay?
Yeah.
And what I mean by building stamina is how long you could hold the pose and be in that pose comfortably.
Mm.
So I'll start with 1 or 2 second holds.
Okay.
And each week you'll add a second to that. So by the time you're done with your contest prep, you know, if you do 20 weeks, you're holding each pose for 20 seconds.
Hmm.
And you're building on this. When I did the Karina show, my first classic show this year, Steve Weinberger was the judge. If you see, and I have video footage, if you see the kind of prejudging that he put us through, thank God that I practiced my posing.
I hear he's brutal.
Normal people would have just passed out.
Really?
On this. It was the poses, and I'm not kidding when I tell you that he made us hold the poses for about 30 to 45 seconds each. We did front double and rear double about 6 times.
No kidding.
Back to back. When I posted up our front double, just the front double, people thought it was on boomerang. You know, when you – a loop, yeah.
Yo, no kidding.
On a loop. And then they're like, wow. They're like, what are you showing? I'm like, no. That was the whole pose. That was one mandatory shot that wasn't on a loop.
Wow.
And they're like, oh, shit. So somebody like Darren Charles that's been in the game for, you know, forever.
Yeah.
For him to say this was the hardest prejudging I've ever done in my, you know, 20, 30 years of bodybuilding, then we know this was pretty damn hard.
That's brutal, man. And to think, too, that, you know, you put all this time in, you know, we're talking about people that are starting these diets at 20 weeks out. It, you know, you don't know until you've had experience that the moment on stage is so small compared to mm-hmm. all the time that goes into it. I mean, it almost blew me away the first time I stepped on stage to realize just how quick it goes by.
How quick it is. And you have to stand out with that little time that you're up there.
Hmm.
You have to know what you're doing. And I say it all the time. You had mentioned that you spend so much time on the diet, on the coach, on the tan, on the this, on the that, on the that. And then something that you could actually control, like posing, then you completely neglected it.
Yeah.
I can't control sometimes that my body is going to wake up a little bit watery the next day.
Sure.
Sometimes I can't control, you know, my digestion if my stomach doesn't, you know, like what it ate. I can't control some of these things. But damn, I could control the way that I pose on stage because I practiced every single day leading into the show. And there's so much study material out there. When I first started in bodybuilding, there was no posing coaches.
No.
There was no there was hardly YouTube out at that time.
Right.
So you had to get whatever footage that you can of like the greats, Bob Paris, Lee Labrada,
yeah.
all these guys, Muhammad Makwe, all these guys that just have incredible posing. And you have to, after you're done, you're like, holy shit, they must have done like 40 or 50 poses in that one routine and it didn't even look like anything. They made it look so simple. That's the goal. You want to make it look simple. So, you know, I really enjoy doing the posing because I do see a big difference in confidence that these guys go up on stage. Incredible conditioning, incredible, you know, muscle bellies and everything. And then they get on stage and they actually feel like $1 million because they feel prepared. You know, they took a posing class. They feel prepared.
Yeah.
Even if you still suck, you know, at posing, you're at least show confidence out there because you prepared yourself.
Yeah. Now, Do you do any type of seminars in town there? Just out of curiosity, I know here in Michigan, we have all sorts of posing seminars around the contests and stuff, and there'll be big groups of people that come in.
You know, they have those MPC workshops.
Yeah.
And I've never been asked once.
Really? You should do those, man. We should set up a petition for you and tell them to bring you in.
They always do here in South Florida. They always do them prior to a show. Like, for instance, like Southern States just happen. And then they'll have like the judges and stuff will have, NPC workshop and stuff like that. But I've never been asked once. And I'm not one to like kiss ass or anybody to, you know, these promoters and these judges and stuff. But they know that if they contact me, that I do it 100% because I just like surrounding myself around those that, you know, want to do well.
Hell yeah.
So, but no, I've never been asked. The only time was there that one time in Geared Up when I was up in Michigan and we did the, or was it, yeah, there.
Yeah, you were here in Michigan. That's where I met you at.
Yeah. And we did the posing stuff there. And that was really, really awesome. I actually posed with about four of those guys after that, you know.
That's pretty cool, man.
It was really a good experience. But you know, if they don't ask, then they don't. I'll do my own thing.
You will do totally fine, right? Without it,
I'm not stressing. No. At all.
So listen, tell me, you come in contact obviously with a lot of people that are looking for help with posing. Besides not practicing, what are some of the mistakes that you see people making that they could have corrected before they came to you?
Well, not even knowing what the poses are called. Mm. Let's start there.
Okay.
They haven't posted on the rules, on the NPC, you know, IFBB, where you can see all these things. You could just put a YouTube video and hear the judge call out the poses.
Sure.
So they don't even know what the poses are called.
Okay. That's like a start.
That's a start. At least you don't have to know the pose per se, but at least know that what they're called. Not the side thing.
The side thing, yeah.
The one where I'm standing in the front facing you.
Basically, when that happens, you have a lot of work cut out for you is what you're telling
me. Yeah, I kind of put my hands on my hips and I bend at the hips and I just shake my head. I take a deep breath. Whew. But it's always a challenge. I've had plenty of clients like that. And then once they're done, it's like, wow. Like, you're not going to jump on a pro stage anytime soon.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, the improvements that you've made with me between when you first started to now, it's like night and day. Like, you would have never survived up there if you didn't come to me, kind of thing.
Sure. So
that would probably be the first thing. I think too many people, they try to overflex too.
Okay.
I do that all the time where they try to overpose. I'm like, look, when you're on stage, actually flexing your muscles at 75% is just as good as 100 and you're shaking like crazy.
Yeah.
When you're about to pass out. So I always tell my clients, I'm like, take a deep breath, relax. Pose at 75%, you know, don't shake, flex the muscle, feel the muscle, and relax your jaw, don't clench. Mm. Look at the judges and just be very relaxed. Like, this is something that you do every single day. And you make it seem like that. And I think that's one other thing that they, you know, a lot of these clients do is that they try to overpose.
I could see that. And I could see myself having done that in the past. And I know exactly what you're talking about. When you're all tensed up, then your face can't look relaxed. You know, you can't look, you can't look like you're calm and confident and in control of what you're doing.
No, the flow is off. The flow is completely off when you're overposing. I think that, you know, another thing, because my service is not just posing, it's actually, you know, it's posing and presentation.
Okay.
So presentation also deals with your tan, also deals with you proper skincare prior to a show. All this is really important. Also the cut of your suit. All these things are so important. I've seen so many guys that have ripped striated glutes and then it looks like they're wearing a diaper on stage.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? Like, this is something so easy to fix. And it's also so dramatic too, that if it's fixed, it's like, it really just sets you apart from everybody else. So I also offer that part, you know, within my services, that I'll give you, you know, the person, at least the people that I go to, that I work with, that I trust.
Nice.
To make sure that all these other little things, again, that you can control, you could control all these things, that you're getting the best that you can possibly get in the cut of your suit, the color, the material, the color of your tan. All these things are very important the day of the show.
The people that you suggest that do trunks, are these then, are they custom cut?
Absolutely, completely custom.
Okay.
This is no cookie cutter type, you know, oh, are you a small, medium, or large?
Yeah.
No. So Chelsea, she's from Buff, the company's called Buff Bikinis, and the owner, Chelsea, I've been working with her since Nationals.
Okay.
And I go to her place because she lives about 40 minutes from here.
Yeah.
But she works with clients all over, where she'll have you send over, you know, your measurements and stuff, and she'll send you, you know, a mock, and then, you know, she'll revise it based on, you know, the feedback that you give her. But she'll go into her filing cabinet, where she has these huge filing cabinets where it's your cut sketched out by hand on cardboard.
Really?
So she has the inches and everything that you've used. So I asked her the other day, about a month ago, when I went to get my classic shorts done.
Yeah.
She makes my classic shorts, and I said, "Do you have my 20?" She pulled them out. She still has them.
No kidding.
And again, completely custom made, down to the inches, down to the fabric. I mean, everything. So I've never seen too many people, that seamstress in bodybuilding, that are like this.
That's pretty cool, man. And like you said too, this is something that you can control. There's so many things that are going to be out of your control. We can control, you know, how conditioned we get through the amount of time we diet. Mm-hmm. And like you said, we can control our tan. We can control what our trunks look like, and our presentation and our posing. All that stuff, man, is so important. And I do think that I do truly believe in my heart that somebody who is pretty good could beat somebody who is a little bit better if they can nudge them out with those factors.
100%. And I'll give you a great example. And I hope he doesn't listen to
Uh-oh.
To this.
Uh-oh.
But when I was a teenager, okay, I competed not in the same weight division, but in the same in that year in teenage nationals with a pretty popular pro named Aaron Clark.
I heard of that guy.
Yeah. That may or may not know who he is. Okay. So his physique was like, even at that time as a teenager, was mind-blowing. Like,
oh, yeah.
Holy shit. This is a 19-year-old. This is incredible. But he had no tan on.
Uh-oh.
He didn't tan. He was chewing gum on stage. You know, it was just all completely off. And the guy that beat him was a local guy here in Miami, and he beat him, and he won the overall, and he got to go on Flex Magazine and all this stuff. And something so simple that even the judges said, if you just had a tan on, you would have won the show.
Man.
Something so – I mean, you know, he became a pro, and the guy that went on Flex Magazine is still not a pro. But that's how important it is. Like, you could, and just like you said, you could beat somebody that's maybe not as good, can beat somebody that's better if their presentation and everything that they can control is top notch versus the other guy. If he slips in one of those aspects, he will lose.
All right. So let's say somebody's 20 weeks out right now. When do they reach out to opposing coach? When do they reach out to you if they want to start getting to work on this?
I tell guys about 10 weeks out.
Okay.
That's generally, unless it's like you're so bad that we have to really start 20 weeks out. I think 10 weeks out, 10 sessions,
okay,
is probably just enough to get everything done at that time. One thing that I do not offer, because just from experience of last year, is I do not do posing routines through Skype.
Why is that?
It's way too hard to teach somebody how to do a posing routine if I can't physically touch them.
Okay.
It's manipulate them, because these are the posing routines are not, are usually not mandatory poses.
Right.
They're, you know, we might do three quarter shots on these, you know, rear double three quarters. We might do some classical shots in there depending on the music that they choose. So it's very tough to do posing routines through Skype. Hmm. So I had actually a couple guys this year that were in town already, or even just flew out to do a posing routine with me.
No kidding.
Yeah, to do a posing routine with me. So I only do the posing routines in person, just so that people understand. It's just very difficult to actually do a posing routine if I'm not in person, because I can't. I need to physically be able to manipulate your body when you're in the poses.
Just out of curiosity, your personal preference, how passionate are you about your own posing routines versus the mandatories?
Wow. Okay, so this routine that I did this year, and most people can see it, they'll see it on YouTube and stuff like that, is it took me about 3 months to come up with the routine.
Really?
Yeah. I was doing a guest posing for a friend of mine here. If, for those that know, you know, old school bodybuilding, Curly Top, which is an old school bodybuilder back in the 90s. And he asked me to do to guest post for a show, the Topomania Classic.
Nice.
And what I wanted to do something very classical for the, but I wanted to do something like really awesome. So I heard, I got very inspired by Rusty Jeffers.
Wow.
Rusty Jeffers has this incredible routine that he did with Queen and the song "The Show Must Go On."
Hmm.
So he did the routine. It was only 2 minutes, about 2 minutes, but I wanted to do the whole song.
Hmm.
So usually they at the shows are like, "Oh, 2 minutes for your routine." I'm like, "Oh, they're gonna have to cut me off because I can't edit a classic like this. I can't cut down."
Okay.
The classic. It's Queen. Come
and,
on.
And how long is that entire song?
My routine is about 3.5 minutes.
Okay, so it's not crazy talk here.
It doesn't feel like 3.5 minutes from what people told me, which is a good thing. But it's 3.5 minutes of straight posing the entire time. Arielle, my girlfriend, you know, she's a fitness pro. One thing that she told me when I was going through this routine or coming up with this routine is she goes, "Hold the poses much longer. Make it more dramatic where you hold the poses a little bit longer than you're used to." So that's one thing that you can see from my previous routines that I did in this particular routine. I took the most striking elements from Rusty Jeffers' routine and I took them and made them my own because I wanted to pay homage to that routine that he did, because it really just, every time I watch it, I get goosebumps.
Nice.
So
nice.
I wanted to make it my own, but I wanted to take little clips that where you're like, "Oh, that's the part that Rusty Jeffers did." And I just completely went, it took me 3 months to come up with it. I was extremely happy with how this routine went. And, I think it was my best routine that I've ever done. It's going to be really hard to top it next year, but I'm already looking for, even after I came up with this routine, I'm always searching for new music to work with.
That's really cool. I find that to be so fascinating. You know, I love seeing a good routine. On the other hand, I feel like I am terrible at them. I'm good at I like the mandatories. I like the competition portion of the show. And you know what it comes down to? I'm not a good dancer. So that's where my next question is going to go. Do you feel like you're pretty in touch with yourself? Like you can cut the rug pretty well?
I'm a terrible dancer.
Really? Too. Oh man, that's not exact. I was not expecting that.
I do get pretty decent when I do have a couple drinks in me. I do get a little pretty decent. I'm always telling my mom and my grandmother, like, "Yo, what the hell? Why didn't you guys teach me some salsa or something?" Like,
right?
I could have so used something like that to build some rhythm for what I'm doing now. But when I was an amateur, like posing and bodybuilding, the posing aspect, and you could ask my roommate from college when I first started, I would practice like crazy posing. I was already teaching people how to pose, and I hadn't even started competing yet.
Wow.
Because I was just so good at watching these guys and then mimicking what they're doing. And you could see on YouTube too, when I was a teenager, and this was 10 years ago, my posing routine at Teenage Nationals It's nothing for what I like what I do now. But if I'm watching a teenager on stage do this, I'd be like, hey, he's pretty good at posing. You know, he's not bad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, very, very classical posing. I did the Gladiator theme song. And posing just has been such a huge passion of mine ever since I saw just Lee Labrada's routines. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, this is the epitome of what bodybuilding is all about right here. Just art, complete art. So I'm very excited to come up with something new, but it's always very stressful because I feel like when I go up to pose, people are expecting next, you know, how is he going to top the next one?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, oh, what the fuck am I going to come up with next time?
Without standing on your head and stuff, right?
How long can I keep on using this song so I don't have to change it? So yeah, that's my next thing is trying to come up with a routine for next year.
So, who do you look up to nowadays? You've talked about a lot of the classics. Who is posing nowadays that you, you really respect, in bodybuilding?
Today there is, and I got to see him live in Chicago, and I got to see him in the Arnold Classic as well. Most people won't know who I'm talking about.
Okay.
Is Kim Jun Ho, and he got second last year at the New York Pro.
Okay.
Behind Guy Cisternino. And Kim Jun Ho is he used to be sponsored by Muscle Tech as well, but you know the if I'm not mistaken, he's Korean.
Okay.
And his posing, when I saw it, I'm like, whoa! I'm like, this is what's up right here. Like, I got really excited about his posing. So that's one guy. I mean, I love watching Hide's posing.
Oh yeah.
Hide's great at posing. Although he does the same routine pretty much every single time with different music behind it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do enjoy his transitions and stuff like that. Who else is posing Cedric's posing is really good.
He's really great.
It does, although it doesn't give me those goosebumps. Now, this is the routine that got me this year. His posing is really good, but I think it was just the combination of the routine and the music simultaneously together that I even stood up clapping when it was done.
Really?
So happy about it. I was at the Arnold Classic this year, and it was Zane Watson.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And most people were like, you know, that's watched it online. They're like, oh, it was okay. I don't know what I'm like, no, you had to be there.
Mm.
You were there in the stands and you just everything was perfect. Like the vibe and the person that went before him maybe wasn't so good. And then he came out very dramatic. It was absolutely perfect that I had to stand up and give him a standing ovation because I was so moved by the routine. It was awesome.
That's really cool, man. You know, a lot of people, when they talk about bodybuilding and they try to compare it to an art form, a lot of people talk about sculpture, but I feel like bodybuilding is more like a performance, more like music that it's something that you can listen to, or you could watch a recording of, and that's one thing, but to see it, you know, performed live in front of you is to actually watch the fibers moving in real life in 3D. It's a totally different thing, isn't it?
Completely different. I mean, I went back and I watched it online and I'm like, if I would have seen this online, I would have said, this is a really good routine, but it was nothing like how it felt in person. It wasn't even what you were seeing. It was just a feeling of sitting there and feeling what was going on stage at the same time. And then Arnold gets up and he starts taking a Snapchat selfie video of Zane behind him. Like, it was just all perfect. If I was on stage and Arnold did that, I'm like, not only would I be excited, but I'm like, I fucking came with a fucking sick routine.
Hell yeah.
Arnold getting up to take a selfie with me while I'm doing the routine, I know he loves it.
That's pretty awesome, man.
That was an incredible routine. For those that did not get to see it, go on YouTube and watch it. Zane Watson.
Yeah, well, I'll have to check that out. And you know what? I'm gonna find your posing routine so I can put this up on the Facebook page as well. So guys can go and check that out, and they can link up to your training so they can see what was going on with that. Now, tell me, where can people get a hold of you, Santi, if they wanted to do any work with you for nutrition or for presentation and posing?
My Instagram is hot. My Instagram, I'm one of these guys that I'm very, very easy to get in contact with through Instagram.
Okay.
I mean, I even had people that are like, oh, I don't know if you're going to answer me. I'm like, well, why? Like, that's their, you know, in their first initial, I'm not sure if you're going to answer me, but I'm interested in blah, blah, blah. And I hit them up and they're like, wow, you actually answered? Well, of course I answered. Like, I'm not like a fucking unicorn or anything like that. Like I'm an actual human. So I'm very good about answering those that hit me up on my Instagram. On my Instagram, it also has the little feature where you get to click where you email me, and that goes directly to my email. And I'm also incredibly good with answering my email. So whether you're interested in posing, contest prep, you know, any of these aspects that are, you know, deal with bodybuilding in general. You know, I'm a pretty good source. I may be young, but man, I look back and I'm like, it's already been already over 10 years that I've been doing this, and I'm not even 30 yet. So, you know, I've learned a lot over the years with competing and everything. And it's nowadays it's so easy to find information. It was harder back in the day to find information, but now you just get a lot of bad information that's out there.
Sure.
So it's hard for somebody like myself when I first started to kind of sift through what's right and what's wrong. The best thing that you can do is reach out to an actual person and not go through, you know, a board or anything like that, and just ask somebody that you can trust that maybe has been doing this for a while and ask them directly these questions. There's no question, at least for me, there's no question that's too extreme. You know, whether it has to do with supplementation or dieting or anything like that, because, you know, we all have to learn somewhere. So why not get the correct information right from the beginning?
That's awesome, man. That's really cool, too, that you're so willing to help other people and, you know, kind of freely give the information that's been given to you. And, you know, who knows, man, you might be shaping the pros of the future here.
Well, I hope so. I mean, it's most guys now, at least in the top tier pros, they're, once social media came around, that kind of that, you know, that mystery kind of was, you know, lifted from them, because you would see guys in the magazines and they're like, you know, they were like a superhero kind of thing where you didn't know if they existed or not. You see them in the magazine, and if you were to, you know, come up close to them and see them in person, you like freak out because you're like, holy shit, I see them in the magazine. Now everybody's more you're able to, you know, connect with people more easily with social media and stuff like that. So, you know, all these amateurs and even pro guys that, you know, that reach out to me, whether it's for posing or nutrition or anything like that, you know, it's much easier to communicate with people. And like I said, I've gotten a shitload of information for free over the years, so it doesn't bother me. You know, I got it for free. I give it out for free the same way. And, you know, there's always a security of having a contest prep coach. So, I just want to make sure that, you know, nobody's trying to hurt themselves or anything in the process.
Awesome, man. And anything else we should plug here? I know you're still sponsored by Muscle Tech too, correct?
Yes. Muscle Tech has treated me, wow, like, incredible over the years.
That's so cool.
They weren't sponsoring bodybuilders anymore.
Yeah.
But since I still feel like I'm kind of in that on the fence between a bodybuilder / classic physique guy / you know, more of like just a muscular fitness model kind of thing, all the way kind of in the middle, that, you know, they gave me the opportunity to jump on board with them, and they seem very happy. I'm extremely happy with them. I've heard horror stories with other companies and sponsored athletes.
Mm.
When I hear these stories, I'm like, wow, I'm like, Muscle Tech would never do that to me. So I've always been extremely, extremely happy that I was lucky enough to get on board with them and even use their products. I mean, Muscle Tech, if anybody has been around, you know, all these past 10 years or in bodybuilding, you couldn't pick up a magazine and Muscle Tech was everywhere. They had the best athletes. They had the best, you know, the most ad space. They had the most products out. And you, I just wanted to be a part of that, you know, growing up in bodybuilding and stuff. Oh, yeah. Like, I want to be in the magazines. I want to be a part of a company like that. And I was lucky enough to get on board with them. So they're coming out with a ton of new products as always.
Nice.
I really only use for the small supplements that I do use, as far as like, you know, I don't use pre-workouts per se,
no,
but I do use all their protein powders. I use their 100% isolated, you know, proteins I use. They have a, you know, cell, everybody knows CellTech from back in the day.
Oh yeah. But
they have a new formula for CellTech that has no carbs in it.
Oh, no kidding.
CellTech before was like one of the first intra/post-workout carbs.
Oh yeah.
From them. But they have a formula that has no carbs in it. So during prep, I sip it, you know, during my cardio sessions and stuff like that, and my weight training. And their aminos are great because they're spiked with a little bit of caffeine. So I'm always putting on my social media that, you know, if I have to drink 2 gallons of water a day, I flavor it with the aminos in there, and it has, you know, about 200 milligrams of caffeine. So the gallon will dilute it, and it gives me kind of a kick, you know, throughout the day without me getting so like buzzed out of my mind.
Nice.
Right for one shot. So yeah. I do use all their products.
That's pretty cool, man. It's and I think that they are lucky to have a person like yourself, man. You're a great guy. Like I said, you know, I got a chance to meet Santi at the Geared Up gathering when he had come to Detroit, and man, you were nothing but friendly and welcoming, and you made me feel really good. And I gotta say, man, you're a really good representative for the sport. So I'm really grateful I could have you here on the show, man.
No, I appreciate you having me, and you know, it's I'm sure that I'm gonna get a lot of, you know, messages and stuff like that after this. So it's gonna be nice to even get in contact with the people that do, you know, listen to your show every single week, and you know, keep bodybuilding and, you know, and lifting alive, because man, bodybuilding, if people are saying bodybuilding is not dying, bodybuilding is dying.
I don't want to hear that.
To the other divisions, it's dying. So anybody that has this passion for lifting, you know, is good enough for me.
Right on, man. Well, thank you very much, Santi. I appreciate you being here tonight.
Thank you, Scott. I really appreciate it. And you know, hopefully next time, maybe I'll be on a 212 stage and you'll be interviewing me again.
That could be awesome, man. We'll look forward to it. Guys, for Advices Radio, I'm Scott McNally with Santi Aragon, IFBB Pro.
Hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout-outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy.